Pray with me, if you will. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Long before he wrote the great works like Mere Christianity and the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis wrote a fictional novel describing the journey of coming to the end of self and the realization that I need more and that there is indeed more. And oftentimes, that more is found in the places we never intended to look. The Pilgrim's Regress was Lewis's first novel written after becoming a Christian. It follows a young man named John who was trying to find himself and how he fits into the larger world, searching for a deeper meaning to life that would surely lie beyond the confines of his current place. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side. It's a journey of discovery of John's own faults, his weaknesses. We like to call this sin. And the journey of trying to find fulfillment in the things, the objects, or even the philosophies of the world around him and in the places that he would travel. The journey ends up with John coming around full circle, simply back and on the other side of the mountain on which he grew up, which he lived his whole life before taking the journey. And along the way, it was told to John, this is my favorite quote from the book, "Only one road leads home, but 1,000 roads lead back into the wilderness." Friends, I believe that this is the Lenten journey that we find ourselves on, not only this year, but every year. Only one road leaves home, but 1,000 lead back into the wilderness. And as we are ever coming closer to the point where we recognize that that journey that we're on has lots of different roads and detours and deviations, we realize along the way, as John did, our true self, our true identity, our sinful nature, the ways in which we stray away from the Lord in thought, word, and deed by things that we have done and by things that we have left undone the whole time. The harsh reality for our egos, that is that we must come to the end of self in order to truly acknowledge the absolute need for Jesus in our lives. It is an absolute need. Thus, pondering the question for all of us the next 2 weeks, as we continue to prepare for the great resurrection feast of Jesus rising from the dead, a question for all of us to have on our hearts and our minds these next 2 weeks. Not theoretical, but actually think about this. Why do I need Jesus in my life? Why do I need Jesus in my life? The prophet Jeremiah, some 600 years before the incarnation of Christ, before Jesus walked on the earth, declared the need. And he said, it is because of broken covenants. God didn't break the covenants. Humanity did, over and over and over again. We all did, and we all do every day. But the Lord has promised a perfect, unbreakable covenant between himself and humanity. The covenantal promise that Jesus would come into the world as the ultimate fulfillment of the great law of the Lord and forgive the abundant sins of his people. salvation as a means of grace by the faithfulness and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What should have been extreme punishment for our sins became forgiveness by the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. Instead of retaliation, we received a new covenant. Instead of anger, we received forgiveness. Instead of selfishness, we have been granted the selflessness and sacrificial love of Jesus. Instead of living in the condemnation of my own sin, we receive the endless grace of the Lord, who loves us in such a way that he would send his only Son into the world to make us right with him and right with each other. Only one road leads home, but 1,000 lead into the wilderness. How then are we, you and I, how then are we to see ourselves in the light of salvation through Jesus Christ and in our brokenness? Many people struggle with low view of self by not being able to live up to expectations that others place on their lives, or because of terrible traumas that have been done to them in the past, or by shame, or by guilt, or by the all too human thoughts of inferiority and insufficiency. On the other hand, the same goes for many who struggle with having too much pride or ambition. There are those of us who refuse to look at our own sinfulness and rather condemn the sins of others as being worse than mine. My sins aren't so bad, but look at those sinners. Only one road leads home. 1,000 lead into the wilderness. King David wrote the famous Psalm 51, one of the most well-known of the Psalms that we prayed together this morning, as a pouring out of his own heart after a dear friend called him out on his sins and held David accountable for his grievous actions. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Take not the presence of your spirit, but make me whole again. David was a notorious sinner. He murdered. He committed adultery. He betrayed confidence. He lied. He covered up his lies. Yet, David, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, is known of as a man after God's own heart. Because God does not use our sins or our weaknesses or our faults to define us. You are not defined by your sins. You are not defined by your brokenness. David was not defined by his great and many sins. He was defined by what the Lord said he was. A man after God's own heart. Adopted. David. Hundreds of years before Jesus, by the shed blood of Jesus. Our brokenness does not define who we are. It helps to tell the story. Our sins help to tell our story, but they don't define us. In our sins, we come to the need that each of us have to acknowledge and recognize the depths of our brokenness. But through the grace of Jesus Christ, we are made new and seen by the Lord as made in his image. Brought to the same place as David, where we see the absolute need for Jesus in our lives in order to be forgiven. Just like David, just like Zacchaeus, just like every one of us here today. St. Augustine wrote in his great work, Confessions, "Once I cling to you, Lord, with all that I am, I'll no longer have pain or hardship. My life will be alive when the whole of it is full of you. My evil sorrows fight with my good joys, and I don't know which side will win out. What a wretch I am, Lord. Woe is me. Woe is me. Have mercy on me, Lord. See, I do not hide my wounds. You are the physician. I am the sick. You are the merciful. I am miserable." Confession, repentance, the end of myself, total dependence on the Lord brings me to the acknowledgement and recognition of my sins and weaknesses. Then, through the forgiveness, the great forgiveness of Jesus Christ, who I am is redefined. I'm reminded who I am through that forgiveness. And he does not hold me in condemnation, but forgives me and sees me as redeemed by his sacrifice. Jesus said to the disciples and to the Greeks who were there that day, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." The pilgrim's regress for John was coming full circle, realizing that his own self-worth was in what he was truly afraid of. He had a false view of God, who God was, what God did for him. For David, the pilgrim's regress was to have the courage of a close friend come to him, bring his sins to light, and see the goodness of God's forgiveness. Fruit is indeed born when we die to ourselves and live to Christ. Coming to the end of myself and receiving the covenantal forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ is the great reminder for our absolute need for Jesus today, right now, and tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are both brought lower than we can imagine and higher than we deserve. Therefore, I do ask you to let us all ponder deeply the question these next 2 weeks especially, as we are preparing for the great resurrection of the dead: why do I need Jesus in my life? Amen.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are, where you are. Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how